Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall behind enemy lines here with Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle covering the Houston Texans. You can follow him on Twitter at @AaronWilson_NFL. Aaron, which Houston Texans are we going to get this weekend? The one that beats the Patriots or the ones that get destroyed by Drew Lock? Which one are we going to get this weekend?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't think they know. I think the Texans are an enigma right now. They are a really confusing team. I think it's probably not that complicated. They obviously, you know, put all they had into the Patriots game. They overlooked the Broncos. We've had several players admit it was a trap game. You know, they didn't say that before the game, of course, but after the loss, they admitted that that was what happened, and that's not good. And the fact is, it was always going to come down to just the way the Titans have been playing, and the Texans, you know, have played fine. They just haven't, you know, run away with the division. We were going to always have this scenario of these two games being pivotal to who's going to win the South Division, and that's where we are. But would it shock me if they came out and played very well Sunday, lost the game? No. I just don't think they'll play the way they did last week. I think that would be surprising if they're bad 2 weeks in a row, at least somewhat a little bit surprising to me. What I anticipate is them getting back to at least playing some competitive football, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, in my opinion, they won't look as bad as they did last week. They can't. They just, it's unlikely that they would look that awful. It was terrible.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's not, you know, something that you typically see from a Texans football team. Now you look at what they because one thing that the Texans over the years they've been a really good defensive team, and you know it all starts and ends, I believe, with J.J. Watt in previous years. Now they have some guys on that defense that can play. Yes, they're missing J.J. Watt, but is that the reason why they're struggling on defense? Because to me, this is uncharacteristic of a Houston Texans defense led by Romeo Crennel, who I consider one of the best defensive coordinators in the league.
Right. He's outstanding. I mean, Romeo came up with a scheme. We thought that Tom Brady would pick them apart because, you know, they don't have a rush. And then all of a sudden they manufactured one, and he came up with some things, some blitzes, and you saw Tom Brady was very affected in the pocket and wasn't usual Brady. And of course, you know, as you can tell how upset he is with his receiving core that he has to play with, but you know what? No one feels sorry for Tom Brady. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings. When you look at the way they play without Watt, what you don't have now, it's this manufacturer rush coming up with special things to get it. You don't have someone that's just going to beat his guy one-on-one very often. Jacob Martin has been really the spark. He's got 3.5 sacks, and Whitney Merciless, they've neutralized him without having to double-team him. They have just single-blocked him, and he hasn't stepped to the forefront. And this is a contract year for Whitney. He started off the season very fast with 5.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles, but he has fallen off since then. And they're last in the NFL in sacks per game since Watt got hurt. They are not a team that gets a lot of quarterback hits, generally. And since J.J. tore his pec, they're not the same defense. They were a defense that could absorb the loss of Jadeveon Clowney after his conflict with the team, and they let him go for nothing, for pennies on the dollar, but they couldn't lose J.J. Watt. And I think it's going to be a fatal flaw for this team, ultimately, when we talk about them at the end of the season. If they'd had Watt, it would have been a lot different because the defense, it ceased to be special. They can't cover well enough. They've collected a lot of former first-round picks. No one's really playing to that level. Occasionally, Bradley Roby will flash the way he did against the Patriots. He played great against Tom Brady, but yeah, you're not really seeing. I mean, Jonathan Joseph is 35 years old. He is showing his age. We saw that when he couldn't get there on the Noah Fant play and try to undercut it. had the right idea, body wouldn't cooperate, couldn't get there. And honestly, I think it was really emblematic of where the secondary is. We saw how Kareem Jackson, someone that they did not offer a contract to as a free agent, and that was offensive to him, and he took it out on them last Sunday. Now he's the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. But, yeah, Mace, I think when you look at where they are as a defense, they are a struggling defense without Watt. And a lot of things that were benchmarks for them, including the run defense that's usually stingy, that's not necessarily there. I know Derrick Henry doesn't have a great track record against these guys. He's different this year, having a career-best season. It wouldn't surprise me if he was able to run the ball and get downhill on these guys.
Now, you spoke of and quickly. Is it sort of hindsight 2020? You know, you talked about Kareem Jackson and Jadeveon Clowney, that they didn't sign those guys back, especially Jadeveon Clowney, because he was a guy that was critical to what they were doing on defense.
Right. With Clowney, it became a situation where they didn't feel like he was all in. He wasn't really their style. And as you know, this is kind of a New England type of system, especially since they brought in Jack Easterby and they gave Bill O'Brien so much juice after firing the general manager, Brian Gaines. So it's more of a strict atmosphere. And he's a, you know, easygoing, kind of fun-loving guy that works hard. He's more of a gamer than a practice player. He could be, you know, a little lackadaisical here and there. Some things, too, like just even when he's playing, not breaking down. There were so many times he should have had the sack. I think those things frustrated them. But they were main thing, they couldn't agree on a contract. And the best offer he got from them was 5 years, $75 million. He wants to be paid in the $100 millions, like those guys like Khalil Mack and Marcus Lawrence, players like that. So they had a major disconnect on a contract, and then he wouldn't agree to trades with the Dolphins, and they finally worked out something with the Seahawks, which he loves. It's worked out for him, but they only got a third-round pick, and Jacob Barnum and Barkevious Mingo in exchange for a very talented player, as a former top overall pick of the draft. With Kareem, they just didn't think that he could play corner. He was actually a little bit like Jonathan Joseph, where he couldn't get there. And then they were looking for something bigger at safety. And they got that with Tayshaun Gibson. Tayshaun Gibson had a really good year. But, yeah, I only second-guess what I would have done with Clowney, you know, what the plan with Brian Gain was, just have him play this year under the tag, and then you probably move on. But I would have gotten this season out of him.
Aaron Wilson joining us here from the Houston Chronicle covering the Texans. And the Texans are third in the NFL in yards per carry on the ground. They're seventh, actually better than the Titans as far as rushing yards per game. What is this team's identity on offense? We know who Deshaun Watson is and DeAndre Hopkins, but they sort of go about it a very different way than the Titans do. It's not a traditional rushing offense. So how would you describe the identity of this team on offense?
Well, it's all built around Deshaun Watson and his talents, and that includes some run-pass option plays, some rollouts, and some just traditional pocket stuff that he will do where he's, you know, very accurate with the football, and he can buy time with his feet. He doesn't have a great offensive line in front of him, but he can make deficient players look pretty good because of his athleticism and just really the field awareness that he has and how smart he is. He's just a very talented quarterback. And sometimes what they do, they just have him run with it. Not as much as, say, the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson, but he's capable of making plays like that. When he looks to throw, DeAndre Hopkins is still his go-to guy. He's going to have most of the targets. And then the other guys, they're just involved kind of sporadically, whether it's Will Fuller, whose health is typically an issue, and it has been the past few weeks, or Kenny Stills, who's a good guy on deep shots. They can very reliably throw to the tight ends. Darren Fells, he's got 7 touchdowns. Jordan Akins. Kiki Kuti is kind of a frustrating guy where sometimes he's a healthy scratch. This past week, it was his fumble that Kareem Jackson returned for a touchdown. And, you know, he's got to do a better job of holding on to the football. I look at their offense with Hyde and Johnson. They have a nice tandem. Carlos Hyde, who didn't fit into the Chiefs' plans, has been great for them. He's having an outstanding season, and he's a big back at 230, but he's got some wiggle. He can burst. He had a 60-yard run against the Jaguars. He's capable of getting in the open field and doing some things. Duke Johnson is more of like a receiver type out of the backfield. The New England game was probably his best game, where he created some mismatches against Kyle Vannoy and caught a touchdown and had about 14 touches. But they've been trying to really get more out of Duke, and it's all really a product of playing time. And just sometimes because he's the sub back, they don't have quite as many plays for him. But, yeah, I think they have a nice running game. And one player they really miss is their right tackle, Titus Howard. He's their rookie first-round pick. And when he was shut down for the year with the meniscus that required surgery, they just don't really have a great right tackle. Chris Clark is 34 and is going to retire after this final season. And you have, you know, Rod Johnson that rotates behind him. They have a rotation at tackle. Most teams don't do that. They just stick with one guy. But, yeah, in my opinion, they've got some issues with the offensive line. They have not been able to fully fix that unit, and that's holding them back a little bit. But it's a dangerous offense. They have Deshaun Watson. That's really all they can say.
Aaron Wilson, Houston Chronicle, thank you so much, man, and we'll see you here in Nashville in a couple days.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Here, Aaron Wilson there. A lot of information from Aaron Wilson covering the Houston Texans. What's your identity on offense? Well, Deshaun Watson's really good.
Yeah.
I like Dean Pease's chances. They were very good against him last year with Blaine Gabbert. They beat Deshaun Watson with Blaine Gabbert last year at Nissan Stadium. I think it was week two of the season. A couple of stats you need to know about the Houston Texans. What are their identities, and where can the Titans attack them? We'll get to that when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.